another gem for you today. Colossians chapter 3, and from verse 15 to verse 17. Let me read the words to you. Precious words, sweet words, blessed words. Writing to the believers at Colossae, this is what Paul says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians chapter 3, from verse 15 to verse 17. If you go into a jeweler shop and he wants to show you a gem, sparkling diamond or something, what does he do? He puts it on a black cloth, some dark cloth. Why? Because the gem will shine and sparkle against the blackness of the background. Now, we're not talking about selling a jewel here, but it is a jewel, it is a gem. And it's not just a make-up story here. Paul is writing to believers who are in desperate trouble. Believers often are. I know, by experience, by what people tell me, that people, believers, often are in bondage and fear and doubt and dryness, and they don't know where to turn. They don't know how they've got into that bondage. They just know that they're locked into some kind of treadmill of routine and grind, and they don't know what to do about it. Paul is writing to the Colossians because they're under attack by lawmongers who want to bring them under the law of Moses, the law of God, and or Gnostics, or sort of Gnostics, proto-Gnostics, men who want to say to these Colossians, who are saying to them, now you've got to have these special experiences, and you've got to keep our rules. Taste not, touch not, handle not, you see. This is the background here. And these Colossians are listening to these teachers. And therefore they will be in bondage. And therefore they're in trouble. And from chapter 2, I think it's verse 6 and on, to chapter 2, verse 6, from then on, Paul has been dealing with this attack. The attack centers upon Christ, and the defense is Christ. And this is part of his way of helping these believers, setting out the defense for their minds to understand, for their hearts to be warmed by, for their experience to be governed, and then they will come out of the bondage, out of the dryness, out of the fear, out of the lack of assurance, into confidence and liberty and joy and spiritual activity, spiritual, I emphasize, spiritual activity in and through the Lord Jesus. This paragraph, 15 to 17 of chapter 3, is a gem in that regard. It hardly needs me to speak upon it. I'm not saying there's not depth of doctrine here that needs to be developed. I just want to give the simple overall view. And what is that simple overall view? It's the real one. It is Christ, Christ, the Lord Jesus. It's not law. It's not higher insights and special experiences. It is Jesus. Ah, well, that's a word for unbelievers. He's writing to the believers at Colossae. We can only be saved from our sins by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. But we don't forget the Lord Jesus when we come to him for justification, for salvation. Oh, I know the Reformed say, well, when you come to Jesus for justification, then you go to Moses, to the law, for sanctification. They try to whittle it down to the Ten Commandments, but they mean Moses' law. Where does it say that here? No. Paul writing to believers. What does he say? Believers. Christ. Christ. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. That's what he's talking about throughout this paragraph. Throughout this passage. Throughout this book. Throughout all his writings. He was determined under all circumstances, every circumstances, to know nothing but Jesus Christ and to preach his gospel and Jesus Christ as Lord. He says it again and again in the New Testament. Let me just pick out some of the thoughts here, but I don't want to spoil this paragraph by developing, as it were, a serious theological debate and question about certain words. I really want to get the flavor of this and to feel it and to enjoy it. Look at these words. Peace. Peace. Thankful. Richly. Sing. Gratitude. Hearts. Thanks. Is that the experience of the average believer today? I didn't joke. I wasn't making it up when I said fear, grind, routine, rules, laws, thou shalt nots, thou shalt nots, and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't making it up, my friend. The Colossians can come into peace, peace, thankfulness, richly, rejoicing, joy, songs. How? The Lord Jesus, Christ, Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You have to do it. Don't let the law of Moses, don't let the Gnostics, don't let pastors with their rules and regulations, their conformity rules, don't let that rule in your heart. Let Christ rule in your heart. The peace of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not the word of Moses, not the word of the Gnostics, not the word of the confessions and the creeds and the associations we belong to, the rules of our board and the pastors and so on. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish. Peace of Christ. Word of Christ. Now, these words are genitives, ofs. And they're a bit tricky, because we don't know whether it's the peace of Christ in the sense of Christ's own peace, the peace he had in serving and obeying his Father, or whether it's the peace that Christ works for us or brings to us or gives to us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it his own peace or my peace in him? It is both. I'll take both. I should dwell upon Christ's peace, how he pleased his Father by submitting to his Father and delighting to choose to do his Father's will. And I want this sense of peace that he brings to me, that I have peace with God. I am justified, sinless in the sight of God, perfect in the sight of God, free of condemnation in the sight of God. I want that to rule in my heart. Now I have a responsibility. And so do you, believer. You have a responsibility to let this peace rule in your heart. And of course, it must work itself out in the ecclesia, in the assembly, amongst the believers where you are. As members of one body, you were called to peace. Therefore, live in peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in these assemblies. Again, I assure you I'm not making it up. Time and again, I hear this. And I know it by experience, that beneath the surface of many assemblies, many churches, there's anything but peace. There is clique and group and sect and division. I once worshipped in an evangelical church where there, in fact, were three churches meeting within that assembly. What I mean, there were three distinct parties at loggerheads within that assembly. So I kept free of it. I couldn't keep free of it. Willy-nilly, you're bound to be in one of the three groups. Eventually, of course, the church split three ways. But we didn't, if we're not careful, we didn't take the peace of Christ with us even by that, because within those new assemblies, the urge goes out to Paul, the urging Paul comes again to us again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, individually and then together. And be thankful. Gratitude to God for all he's done. It's not fear, you see, my friend, is the motive for sanctification. That's what the law says, what Calvin says, punishment, the whip, he said. No. Thankfulness, gratitude. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, is that the word about Christ? The message about Christ? And I use the word message there. I don't use the word message for what I'm doing. This is a discourse. The message is God's commitment to me. His word, his doctrine, his message, the gospel. Is it the word about Christ, the gospel, or is it Christ himself, Christ's own word to me? Well, it's both again. Let Christ dwell in me, because he is the word of God. He is Christ. That's what he is. He is the word of God. But I should let the word of Christ, the gospel of Christ, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, particularly, of course, centered upon Christ. And that must dwell in me, not just in my mind, but richly in my heart and in my life. You say, well, this is a verse you should be preaching to the seminary today. You see, they're going to be teachers and admonishers, and they need the word of Christ. He's talking to every believer at Colossae, the ladies as well as the gentlemen, the brothers and the sisters, the young and the old. The picture here, as throughout the New Testament, is not of a one-man business or even a board of elders ruling over everybody to the exclusion of everybody else. I do believe in rulers and elders in the church, but not the pastor. That doesn't come in the New Testament. I'm not going to spoil this now by talking about it, digressing on it, but read my book if you want to know my thoughts. The pastor, does he exist? And the priesthood of all believers. There's two books there. And what we have it here. Believer. Man or woman. You are a teacher in God's church. Oh, no. Yes, you are. I have been to seminary. You have. You've been to Jesus Christ. He is the seminary. There's no seminary here apart from Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because you're going to teach. You're going to teach me. You're going to teach each other. You're going to teach yourself. You're going to speak to yourself. And by the way, peace doesn't mean to say we see nothing to be put in right. We don't have correction. The word of God is given for correction, reproof, rebuke. Here it is, admonish one another. Love, of course, peace has to rule all. Love binds everything together. Don't forget the previous paragraphs we've been looking at. Love is the great binder in all unity, in perfect unity. Bear with each other and forgive each other. But that doesn't mean to say, you don't say, well, that's wrong, sister, that's wrong, brother. And instruct them from the word of Christ. Instruct them about Christ with all wisdom. Not just knowledge, but wisdom, tact, courtesy, grace, spirituality. And as you sing psalms, singing, rejoicing in your heart and with your voice too. Oh, well, I haven't got a very good voice. I don't know I can sing very well. If you've got a good heart, my friend, a good spiritual heart, because you sing with your heart, gratitude in your hearts to God. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I know there are believers who think that means psalms, psalms, and psalms. They're quite wrong. If you just sing psalms, my friend, you sing about Christ, but only in the Old Covenant picture language, the illustration of the Old Covenant. Come into the New Covenant, take out the words of Scripture, and put them to song in your heart. Delight in them, and sing to each other with gratitude in your hearts to God, and make them a tool for teaching and admonishing as we sing spiritually. My wife had a very serious operation at one time, a brain operation, and she had some difficulties afterwards. And I remember a man telling me who worked with people in such a circumstance, and he said, get her to sing. When she wants to talk to you and she can't get the words out or she doesn't know quite how to say it, get her to sing it, because you can sing it easier than you can say it. Sing in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Sing with gratitude, making melody in your heart, sweetness and joy. And whatever you do, like I put it all together, in word or deed, do it all in the name for the person and for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Oh, the sweetness of the law of Christ. If you look at the law of Moses, it's thou shalt not. If you look at the law of the Gnostics, don't, with exclamation marks. If you look at the law of Christ, it's let the peace of Christ. Be grateful, sing. Oh, how sweet it is to be a Christian. Unbeliever, I don't envy you. Oh, that you could know this peace, this thankfulness, this peace with God, this sense of joy and gratitude and purpose and meaning in life, seeing Christ in everything. Oh, that, believer, you could feel and know and experience this. I want to. And as I read this, just to close, it is a gem, I say it again. How sweet it is. I know I repeat myself, but let these words come out of the page of Scripture. Come into my mind, come into my heart, come into my spirit, come into my soul, come into my experience, that I might be like this today and always. Be conformed to Christ in all things. Surely that's what this passage is saying. So if you're in fear or doubt, if you're a sinner outside of Christ, whatever stage you're in, come to Jesus. Keep coming to Jesus, looking to Jesus, and rejoicing in Jesus, believing in Jesus. Let me just read it to you and close. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.